All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
I feel like it's do I have an obligation? I think I have an obligation, right?
I mean, yeah, I think pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. So now our listeners, if you listen carefully, you know that every week when we first tune in, when the camera first turns on, I try really hard to get David, you know,
and he does it. He succeeds.
I usually am pretty good at it, whether it's wearing the funny sunglasses or, you know, a funny hat, or sometimes I'm not on the camera and he's like, where's Penn? And then I come jumping in from off to the side, you know, and I really have a lot of fun amusing myself trying to make David laugh. And so tonight I had nothing. I had nothing good. But I was eating my routine, my typical pre-show Pop-Tarts.
you got a carb.
You got a carb up. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to get through an hour of the Penn Cinema Podcast.
You got a carb up.
So I'm sitting there minding my own business with this Pop-Tart, strawberry frosted Pop-Tart hanging out of my mouth. And the the camera pops on. I can't even say it. And what do I see? I see beautiful David Moulton wearing a legit 100% top hat. And I'm not even sure that you could say he was wearing it. He was like, it was on top of his head.
Yeah, it's like on top of my headset. So it's a good like half inch above my head just floating. It was pretty much perfect.
I mean.
Would you say dapper is not enough of a good word for it?
Dapper does not do it justice.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, you looked amazing. I think the word that first came to my mind was movie set ready.
Yeah. Boom, get him on set now.
Put him in a period piece. He's ready to, you know.
I'm going
to
be the next.
He's ready to go Downtown Abbey.
Yeah, Downtown Abbey. Oh man. Which brings up a bigger question. What does it mean when someone says, I'm done with the Disneyfication of downtown?
Oh yeah, I know what that means. That goes back to like Times Square when Giuliani supposedly cleaned up Times Square, got rid of all the hookers and the peep shows and brought in like Disney, like put the Disney, one of the big retail shops that came to Times Square was the Disney store. And so it sort of became like, now they're trying to make Times Square, this was back, I think, in the 90s. They want to say make Times Square like family friendly, and a lot of people say they're trying to make it into like Disney World, so you could take your kids and like walk around Times Square. And so they called that like the Disneyfication of Times Square, where when I was growing up in the 70s, Times Square was like you scared to walk through.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's like that's where you take your kids to buy like a gigantic Lego set or, you know.
Okay. Because someone referred to our town, downtown, as the Disneyfication of downtown.
Lancaster?
Lancaster. And I was like, I'm sorry, excuse me?
Yeah, I think if somebody, I don't want to offend whoever said that because we have a lot of friends in common, so maybe I'm offending one of my own friends.
But, I mean, you're offending me, so don't worry.
Right. I don't think Lancaster, like, you can't Disneyfy Lancaster because there's not enough.
There's not enough stuff, right?
Yeah. There's not enough to work with.
Okay. Well, I mean, that ties into movies because of Disney, and I was curious. You're the man to ask.
Yeah.
But I also want to ask you about something big, and this goes right into our news.
Okay. Talk
to me. The Golden Globes.
Right.
They happened this year?
Yeah.
Question mark?
You didn't, obviously you didn't watch it. You were one of the people who set the record for the lowest viewed Golden Globes in the history of the Golden Globes.
Another way to phrase that is I'm one of all the people who didn't watch the Golden Globes.
Here's the deal. I don't know if you heard.
Say what?
I don't know if the word got down to you yet. I have returned. Remember I said how like Tom and Jerry marked like the beginning of like the movie business coming back?
Yeah.
There was another major milestone, which is I have resumed. See, the Penn Cinema podcast is a priority in my life, so we never stopped recording.
Ever. It's always going. It's always going.
And then every week you take hundreds of hours of footage.
And just slice it down. And
slice it and splice it together down to a tight show. But also, the other thing that I do every week is every Monday morning, I call in to Fun 101, the radio show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be The Rose. Now it's Fun 101. It's with two of my favorite people, Dennis and Michelle. And I've been calling into them every Monday for years and years and years. And after the pandemic opened, literally like 12 years or so, every single Monday morning, even when I was traveling, I called them from Italy.
Whoa.
Like I managed like the time change. Like I have called them from literally all over the world. I've called them from Las Vegas. I've called them from Santa Monica, from Canada. I've called them and I never missed a week for years and years and years.
Wow.
And we kept it going a few weeks after the pandemic. But then when we were closed and they were also like working from home, it got weird. And we just sort of stopped. I mean, I kept it going for a while, but eventually it was just weird, you know, so I stopped calling in, but a couple of weeks ago I started calling in again. And so we're all excited. And that's a fun part of my week. I look forward to talking to them every Monday morning. We have a lot of laughs. But the reason why I tell that story is because I call in, I feel obligated to watch all the awards shows.
Okay. All right.
So after the Globes and the Oscars, and there's another one that people like to talk about, after all those shows, that's what Dennis and Michelle want to talk to me about is what do you think of the winners? What do you think of the show? And blah, blah, blah. So therefore, I did, in fact, watch the entire Golden Globes show. I may have fallen asleep a little bit towards the end, but I made it. I thought it was interesting. They had it like live in two different places, and there were parts of it that were god awful and painful to watch.
Were those the parts between the beginning and the end?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was. I was into it. I thought, you know, there was some. I tell you what, you missed. You're sitting here on your high horse. You're sitting there in your ivory tower, Mr. Moulton, with your top hat. Yeah, that's right. You put that top hat on.
Put the top hat on.
Yeah, he's got his top hat on. He's got his pinky out, and he's making fun of the Globes. But I'll tell you this. Watching Chadwick Boseman's widow accept the award for Best Actor on his behalf, I will not soon forget that. I mean, Amy and I were watching it, and we were both like – sobbing.
Wow.
Blow your nose. It's good. Take two or three tissues. Like this was an incredibly emotional, powerful, beautiful acceptance speech. And so there were moments like that were amazing. And then there were other moments that were just awful. But
well, so what are the big takeaways?
So Nomadland won for Best Picture. That was a shock to me.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that was kind of stunning was Sacha Baron Cohen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He got Best Actor, and Borat, the subsequent movie film, got Best Musical or Comedy.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it because there wasn't a lot of competition, or do you think it deserved it?
I think it deserved it, and what I've been telling everybody is – I get the sense when I heard Sacha Baron Cohen's acceptance speech. Can we just call him SBC?
Sure.
When I saw SBC's acceptance speech, I feel like people are going to write in and make fun of me for not picking up on this, but I feel like the dude is really smart.
Oh, that man is exceptionally brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've known that he's a talented actor. We've talked about that before. There's no question.
Right.
But I feel like the genius of the Borat movies is on their face, it's funny. It's like amusing. But then there's a whole nother level, which I'll admit here in front of just between you and me.
Okay, I won't tell anybody.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Don't worry about it.
I feel like a lot of that movie went over my head, and I want to rewatch it.
Oh.
Well, you know what I mean? Like I feel like there's comedy that's funny because somebody trips and, you know, gets a pie in the face.
Right.
And then there's other...
Did you watch the new one?
I watched the beginning of it and sort of... spaced out. And
I haven't watched it yet.
I want to watch it. And his acceptance speech. So I told you about Chadwick Boseman's widow accepting posthumously for Chadwick. Sacha Baron Cohen's acceptance speech was absolutely brilliant. And he did it so dead. It was a comedy routine. It was an absolute comedy routine. And he had it deadpan. And his whole thing led up to like wanting to thank Rudy Giuliani for, you know, the comedy genius, and being able to work with a comedic actor like that is just such a once in a lifetime blessing. It was amazing. And then the other takeaway that I want to talk about, because it inspired me to book it at Penn Cinema, is the movie which got Best Foreign Language Film is Minari.
Yeah, I've been hearing some great things about this movie.
Yeah, so are we going to try? Can we try to watch that for next week?
Yeah, let's do it. Now, I'm going. I mean, I've seen trailers that say it's amazing, that it was up for Best Picture, but I didn't watch any proper trailers, and I don't think I am. I want to go full, like blind experience on this.
We didn't watch a trailer on the show?
If we did, I don't remember it.
Okay. Good job, Penn.
Yeah, way to go.
Way to go, Penn.
Way to go. Well, okay, look. So speaking of movies,
things are moving.
And this is a little bit different. I mean, things are mostly starting to move up.
Right.
Because I think that after Tom and Jerry and maybe Raya, like Raya, how do you think?
Raya.
I think, although I read that maybe it didn't perform exactly as they expected, but come on, that was a good.
That's negative hype. That is the media. That's the echo chamber. That's absolute crap. And the reason why I say that is because 20% of the movies didn't play it. And I don't mean 20% of existing movie theaters. I mean 20% of the open movie theaters. Movie theaters that are open because they were fighting. There were some large national chains that were fighting with Disney over terms and did not open Raya. So it only opened to 80%.
Oh, my gosh. No
wonder. Available movie theater. Right, exactly. And I can tell you, 2 weeks ago, Tom and Jerry was a huge hit for us. And this week, Raya was also a huge hit for us. And frankly, Raya outgrossed Tom and Jerry at all my movie theaters.
And when I was at the theater, there were some larger groups of children, nothing, you know, like within reason. Yeah. But there were like groups of people that came together that could have totally saved money and watched it at home who chose to go to the theater.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With that many people, the cost effective of getting it at home, they chose to go to the theater for that experience.
Right. They wanted to come out and have a shared experience. They wanted to make memories together. Okay, so let's not go too far off on Raya, because we're going to talk about that great movie in a little bit. But your point is well taken. A Quiet Place 2, I forget when it was slated, but it got moved up. It's now being released. I think it was supposed to be released in June sometime, and now it's being released Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's not a lot of competition then, so it's going to kill, right?
It's going to absolutely kill. Yeah. And then also, Peter Rabbit got moved up 2 weeks to May 18th.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's great. Now, one piece of news that did have a lot of us scratching our heads is Minions. Comcast moved Minions back a year.
What?
To 4th of July 2022.
That doesn't make any sense.
What do you make of that?
That's weird.
That's super weird. I mean, by the 4th of July, all the movie theaters are going to be back open. There may be some restrictions, but they're not going to be. It's not going to be 15% like it is now.
Maybe they don't want to. They want to like. They don't want to take any chances, I guess.
I guess, but I think this is. First of all, it's annoying to me. But second of all, I think it's a bad call on their part.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But you know what, David? Let me tell you something.
Oh, tell me something.
Let me just tell you something.
I wish that you would tell me something.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do.
No, I don't have
tell
any
you
time
what I'm
going to
do. What I'm going I tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Just cuz right. I like your face.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do. All right. I'm going to let you know that even though Comcast moved Minions back a year.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you a secret. I don't want you to tell anybody.
Okay.
All right. Between don't let this get out.
You, me, and God right here.
I had somebody refer to the cone of, what was it, the cone of silence? Or
from
like
Get
that.
Smart?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Here's the deal. Penn Cinema is going to have a huge 4th of July party with or without Minions.
What?
Now, listen. I'm still working on the details.
Okay.
So I really, truly don't want to say what we're going to do.
Okay.
But I can tell you it's going to be Friday night, July 2nd. And it's going to have a drive-in component, a non-drive-in component, and it's going to be legit. So I, Drew and I are going all out. We want to create another night like we had when we opened Star Wars. Remember how much fun that night was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we want to have another night like that. So stay tuned, dear listeners. And I'll tell you, I don't need Minions to have a party.
But are you telling me that there might even be some Penn Cinema podcast shenanigans going on that night?
I believe so. I'm just saying there ought to be.
That's, I mean, the party level just got turned right. up, you know?
Turned up? What? Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm totally serious. Friday, July 2nd, where you're going to want to be is on Airport Road. And it'll still be a couple more weeks until we can announce our details.
Yeah.
We don't have all of our ducks in a row, so to speak. I'll even tease a little bit here. We don't have all our permits in place.
Oh.
That's right. We need permits for where we're going. We don't need roads. We don't need roads, but we need permits.
But you need permits.
Right.
Wow. Wow. Well, yeah. Look, here's an interesting thing. We just told you about how Quiet Place 2 is moving up to Memorial Day.
Right.
Well, you think, is there going to be a Quiet Place 3?
I mean, probably in like, what, 5 or 6 years?
It'd take them a while to right. No. They're saying A Quiet Place 3 is due out in 2022.
Stop it.
Get out of town.
Stop the madness. Get,
after the delays like and everything, they're still saying it's supposed to come out in 2022.
Wow. I loved A Quiet Place. I think we all agreed that we loved it.
Yeah.
Right? It's a very popular movie. Everybody liked it.
Right.
But would you have predicted that it would be getting a trilogy?
No.
I wouldn't. No.
I didn't think it was going to get a sequel.
Right, because they killed off John.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you know, I mean, all good documentaries usually wrap everything up like this one did.
Hey, listen. Speaking of sequels.
Okay.
I got the sequel of the year for you.
Oh, boy.
Space Jam 2.
What's up? All right, Space Jam 2 is beginning a lot of pointless press to the point where it's like it's almost begging. At the they'll talk about anything that they can talk about.
Like for example, if the star hurt his ankle on set or something.
Well, I mean, so first thing I read is that they were like, Lola Bunny or whatever her name is. She's not as sexy as she was in the last one. What?
None of us are.
Time takes it still. And then the plot synopsis came out, and it's not there. So you would think, like the first one, it's going to be like switching back between Toon Times and human times. Well, apparently LeBron James is going to be traveling to different Warner Brothers properties to find the Looney Tunes characters hidden in them. We're talking like Casablanca Land, like that kind of thing. Like he's going to be traveling through their classics.
Perfect.
Which is crazy, but yeah, sure,
why
not? He's going
to be in The Matrix.
Yeah, The Matrix, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, Pepe Le Pew's big scene got cut. And it's like, what is this press? Like, who is following Space Jam 2 this close?
When does this movie come out?
I don't know. It's soon, though, isn't it?
Is it really? I don't think so.
I thought it was soon. Look it up.
It's not like soon. It's not soon, like in the next few weeks.
Well, we haven't had a trailer yet, so
it might be in 21. I'll give you that, but it's not like this spring.
I'm thinking summer.
I'll give you August.
Is that what it says?
No. Oh, did you tell me to look it up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought you were looking it up.
Oh no, I'll look it up here real quick.
All right. While you're talking, while you're doing that, let me talk to you about Star Trek because I know it's your favorite subject. You're always like,
may the force be with you.
Yeah. Sometimes in the middle of the week, I get a call and he's just like, I just need you to tell me about Star Trek right now. That's all I really need. So,
all right, David, hold the phone.
Whoa.
Space Jam 2 opens in the middle of July.
Okay. All right. Summer.
Yeah.
Okay. Kalinda Vasquez is a producer and writer for Star Trek Discovery, which I've grown to love. She's been hired by Paramount to write a new original Star Trek movie with J.J. Abrams producing. Now, what makes this such a big deal? One, she's already in the universe because there's like four Star Trek movies supposedly being made. This one apparently has a green light. J.J. Abrams producing. She's already a writer, and I think she may have directed some episodes of Star Trek Discovery. Like, she's like already in the Star Trek world, so us Trekkies, we can trust her because she's involved. She's not just like, you know, someone who, as much as we love Tarantino, she's not Tarantino coming from the outside. You know what I mean? But it's a blind deal. They basically said, write us a Star Trek movie. Here you go. It's greenlit. Write a Star Trek movie. So it could be any timeline. It could be new characters. It could be the Kelvin timeline, which is the Abrams movies. Like, yeah.
Don't you think that's exciting?
It's super exciting.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know what direction you were going with. I thought this is like great.
This is awesome because of all the projects, this is the one most likely to like be done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like getting the Abrams crew back together. That's getting harder and harder as time goes. Tarantino's movie harder and harder as time goes. Like this seems more realistic to me. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really exciting because I feel like you don't hear much about like writers being able to start from scratch, like write us a movie. You know what I mean?
Right. It's always unless, the idea.
Yeah, unless it's like a young, like up and comer who just writes one on his own and then tries to sell it to people.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, this is super cool. Drew and I were talking today. We think if Paramount, which is behind this new Star Trek movie that we're just talking about, if Paramount would market their movies with the same enthusiasm that they market Paramount Plus, their movies might actually make money.
That's true. Paramount Plus is getting a lot of like advertising, but apparently I read a review of it and they said it's nothing special at this point.
Like, obviously, yeah. I could have told you that.
Yeah.
I could have told you that 6 months ago.
The only reason
Paramount Plus needs to just keep hanging on until Apple TV buys it.
Ooh.
I mean, that's where the streaming. We've talked about this on the show before, but all of these streaming platforms are ultimately going to get condensed into like two or three winners, and it's probably going to be Netflix, Amazon, and Apple TV. Look, right. So you just got, if you're in charge of Paramount Plus, just hang in there until one of those makes you a multi-billion dollar offer and then you're off the hook.
Paramount Plus is going to survive on Star Trek alone. Mark my words.
Okay.
Because they've got three series, Star Trek series coming back and three more premiering in the next year. They're like, as long as they keep doing good Star Trek, the Trekkies will come back. I mean, they'll unsubscribe when there's no content like I did, but you know, what are you going to do? All right.
Listen, speaking of good-looking villains.
Yes.
This gentleman, Hugh Grant, is set to play the villain in the new Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Hugh Grant himself?
Yeah.
From Love Actually?
Yeah, the very same, the one and only.
Hugh Grant. What do you think about, first off, can we just say Hugh Grant is great. He's a great actor. He's Captain Handsome as all as I'm concerned. Well, he's an okay actor.
He's good enough. I will watch a Hugh Grant movie. I will watch it. You're like the old man in the Muppets, the end of the Muppets. He's a great actor. He's all right. He's an actor. He sucks. He's the worst.
He's borderline unrecognizable these days. I don't know what happened. Still looks like a good guy, like a handsome gentleman for his age, but he doesn't look like Hugh Grant anymore.
What do you mean?
Look him up. He's just, he looks like a different person, like an also handsome man, but not Hugh Grant. Like, to the point where I would almost be like, who is that guy? And I actually have done that in other movies he's in recently.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. He's just, his face has changed a lot. I don't know if he had plastic surgery or what, or didn't, and, or I don't know. But anyway, he's going to be the villain, which I'm totally down for because I like Hugh Grant. I think he can do things. So,
and I'm down for the Dungeons and Dragons concept too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we talked about this before. I'm not like the biggest D&D nerd, but I'm on board. Like I played as a kid, and I have fond associations.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like game, the memory of playing the game makes me feel good.
Awesome. You know, I've never played.
That's surprising because you're a huge game guy.
Yeah, and a total dork. So like you would think, but. Nah, brah.
Is it too late?
It's never too late.
Who's got that kind of time?
Yeah, who's got the... First off, who's got the time? Here's the thing. Every time it's been offered to me, I've always said no because in my mind, it's a line. And it's like, you cross that. It's like that and World of Warcraft.
Like a line of Coke?
Yeah, it's like a line of Coke. It's like that and World of Warcraft are my nerd lines. And right, I know once I cross them, there's no coming back.
And we'll never see you again.
Yeah, it's like... Remember when you thought he might get married someday? He started playing D&D. He's done. Someone just get him a grave plot by the highway. He'll be fine.
Remember when he did that podcast every week?
Yeah, haven't seen him in years.
Right.
And
now it's just Penn talking to himself.
Right. Or
somebody should tell Penn David's not there anymore.
You could just get a lookalike to come in here, maybe a Hugh Grant. To replace me.
Right.
Just like in the Thor movies.
Right.
Speaking of which.
That was so good. Yeah. That was so good.
Just roll right in.
Yeah. All right.
New set photos have confirmed Matt Damon and Sam Neill will reprise their roles as actor Loki and actor Thor or actor Odin, respectively, in the new Thor movie, Thorf. And also, Melissa McCarthy will be acting as Hela, who was played by Kate Blanchett in the other movie. But they're just like in the last one, they'll probably be reenacting the last movie on a stage. Do you remember that from Thor Ragnarok?
No, I remember talking about it, but I don't remember what happened.
Thor comes back to Asgard and finds Loki pretending to be Odin.
Oh, right. Now
he's
watching
a play, and these are the people playing them
in the play.
Yeah.
That was a great scene, actually.
Right. It's awesome. And I'm glad that they're doing it again. I think it's a great idea.
It'll be really interesting. That takes some good creative thinking to see how to work those three actor characters into another film.
Yeah. And I, you know, speaking of Melissa McCarthy, I'm never like hugely like I've got to see a Melissa McCarthy film. Like I think she's funny, but I don't go out of my way. However, I really want to see her new movie with what's her name? The one where her and the other girl get superpowers and they try and be superheroes. It's on Netflix or Amazon right now. It just came out.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It looks pretty good. It looks funny.
I'd like to see that.
And
I think we talked a couple weeks ago about Melissa McCarthy on those old Saturday Night Live sketches.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's so good.
So, all right. So here's a little bit of industry talk. We don't have to hop on it too long.
Yeah, please. But let's
blast through. Yeah.
I can't believe that we're giving this. I can't believe that we are wasting valuable minutes.
Do you want to skip over this?
No. God forbid you put it in the notes. It's all right.
And the notes are law. The notes are law. I don't know if
the notes are our scripture.
Yeah.
As we've always said, because we do take so many things so seriously. I want you to read this just so that I can go on record of hating it.
Okay. Disney CEO Bob Chapek, he says consumers are impatient for releases because they've had the quote unquote luxury of an entire year of getting titles at home. Continuing down the line with quotes, so I'm not sure there's going back, but we certainly don't want to do anything like cut the legs off the theatrical exhibition run, end quote. So basically he's saying prepare to get like have the Disney Plus at home thing continue on for the foreseeable future, which whatever. I think HBO has shown that it's like whatever.
You put him in a room full of shareholders. You put him in a room full of shareholders who want Disney to make the most money possible, and he will sing a different tune.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who is not thinking straight and is a complete ass.
I'm sure Raya and the Last Dragon, how they didn't learn their lesson from
Mulan,
and then they did it again with Raya and the Last Dragon. At least this time, the theaters are open, and everyone, you know, people seem to be coming out. So
yeah, they keep lowering the price of what it costs to watch it at home because it keeps not working.
Well, I thought from what I heard, Ray is still $30.
No, but I mean Mulan was $40.
Oh, was it? Oh, wow.
Yeah,
$40.
Right.
Jeez.
To watch a TV show.
Anyway, so I you know people were kind of up in arms about it, and rightfully so.
You want to hear something funny about Disney?
Yeah.
Just to show you the stupidity.
Hit me with
your
best
shot. I got a phone
call.
Disney, my rep from Disney, whose name I don't want to say, which works out good because I don't know how to pronounce it because it's a name I've never seen before.
Is it Daffy Duck?
Which is fine, but I'm just saying it's a weird name. It's not a normal name like Penn. So she calls me on Friday and I had clicked the wrong button or whatever on my showtimes, and I'm talking about Ephrata, right? The mighty, mighty theatrical exhibition giant known as the New Main up there on East Main Street in Ephrata.
Yeah.
A beautiful theater.
Big player.
A huge, huge dominant force in the field of exhibition. And this person is being paid by Disney to call me and say, you're missing the 3:45 show of Raya in Ephrata.
In Ephrata.
In Ephrata. Which, you know, we're going to gross dozens of dollars.
It's the biggest theater on the hill.
right. In all of downtown Ephrata, we are the biggest and the best theater. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I got, as the expression goes, I got my panties in a bunch about this Disney. They're really on my list lately, and I'm not amused to read this quote from Disney CEO Bob Shithead, and clearly he's not in touch. He has not read his report yet, and he's desperately trying to defend a flawed strategy.
Clearly, he must be French because I mispronounced his last name. So it's spelled really weird, but phonetically,
It's pronounced shithead.
All right, moving on to trailers. You ready for this?
There's some interesting trailers. I think you put one of your notes on the wrong trailer.
I did.
Okay, good. All right. No, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 decent trailers.
They vary.
None of them stand out as great.
No. I'll be interested to hear what your trailer of the week is.
Okay.
All right. Let's start off with Voyagers. This is Lord of the Flies. In space.
Space.
Where they're doing experiments on kids, and the kids start to think that they're better than everything else. And
Did you ever see in the Muppets when they had pigs in space?
I'm sure I have. I don't remember.
And the theme song was Pigs in Space. And that's all I could think about when I was watching this trailer. Voyagers, the interesting thing about Voyagers, so the trailer is whatever. It's a good trailer. I thought it was catchy and exciting. The interesting thing about this movie is that I never heard of it.
Right.
And it stars a really good cast. Isn't this the one with Colin Farrell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Depp's daughter, and a bunch of other up-and-comers who actually look pretty good. Not that Colin Farrell's – it stars Colin Farrell and also a bunch of up-and-comers,
right.
All of whom look pretty promising. And I'll look forward to this movie. But what's interesting about it is I never heard of it until I saw it on the trailer list, and it comes out in less than a month. It comes out April 9th.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw
wouldn't
the first
think,
trailer this week, yeah.
Wouldn't you think somebody that works in the movie business would – you would send them a poster or, you know, tell them about this movie or whatever?
You would think. I mean, I don't know.
I guess people have just had the luxury of an entire year of getting titles at home. Maybe I'm not on their radar anymore.
Mm. I'm sorry. Is that a direct quote from Bob Shithead?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
The second trailer we had was a horror movie called The Seventh Day. This is my trailer of the week.
Okay. This movie looks like a very well-made horror film. And you know how we can decide that it's that? Because within 10 seconds, I was already in another tab and just listening to it. Because I was like, I don't know if I want to put these images in my head.
I was on board. It's another exorcism story, right? Which at first, for the first however long of the trailer, I was rolling my eyes and I was kind of like, whatever. But then he gets this, he goes, this new priest who's being taught how to perform exorcisms is interviewing this kid who murdered his family. And while he's interviewing the kid, like in the police lockup room, the kid makes like a pencil float.
Yeah.
And then the pencil comes down and stabs the other cop in the room.
Yeah.
And that got my attention. I was like, oh, game on here. I think this movie looks scary as anything. And I'm probably going to watch it like this, you know, looking through my fingers with my eyes covered. But what the other thing that got me, the hook, was after the trailer like reveals the chaos, and you know how trailers sort of reach a tipping point and then they go to like different images sort of one on top of the other and it gets a little bit more like just giving you a flavor. The music behind was like a distorted the song was Danny Boy, mm-hmm. that great Irish song. But it was like just a little distorted. So it sounded like super creepy and scary. And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. This one I'll put on my list. Yeah.
I liked the scene where the boy had killed his family and the priest sees a vision of the whole family like dead, like kind of reenacting how they died to him, like miming it. That was super creepy to me. I did click away at the beginning and then I was like, no, I'm a big boy and I'm doing this for the podcast. And I came back to it and saw disturbing things and I survived. So, but more disturbing.
Had your big boy pants on.
Yeah. More disturbing than that was the trailer for My True Fairy Tale, looks like it was made by a bunch of college students.
And not from a good college.
And not from a good college. Somehow it's supposed to be getting a theatrical release. I don't know where, but the story here is first off, the trailer doesn't tell you what the story is. It's ridiculous. But from the synopsis I read, a young girl gets injured in an accident and then thinks she has superpowers, or maybe she doesn't, or maybe she does, or maybe she doesn't, or maybe she does. I don't know. That's what we'll find out. Well, I mean, not us, because we're not going to watch it.
There was a lot of right. The thing, the thing that was annoying about this is that it didn't look good, and I agree with all the things that you said. But at the beginning, it said based on true events.
Yeah. And those true events is some girl got in a car accident. I guarantee you.
Right. And then they couldn't find her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it turned out she was just laying in a different part of the creek all along.
Yeah. And they eventually found her.
Right.
That's a good
story. Did you ever see that movie, Jacob's Ladder?
Yes. Yeah.
That is such a good movie.
They made two of them.
I love that movie.
Second one was really good too. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know it happened.
Came out a couple of years ago. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. The next one, I think, David, you have the most appropriate summary.
Okay.
You want to lead us off.
This movie is called After We Fell. Now, let me pitch you. Okay. I've come in and I'm about to pitch you a movie, right? And yeah. I'm gonna see if I can sell you.
Yes.
In one sentence. Okay.
I wasn't gonna agree to meet with you, but my friend told me you wear a top hat.
Well, I do, and I just want you to know I got a good deal for you here. Let me sell it to you here. And you people like that Fifty Shades of Grey stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's great. That was Goldline.
Yeah. So, what if 50 Shades of Grey was with teenagers?
Huh? That sounds appropriately creepy. I love it.
Money.
we'll do a whole marketing scheme based only on hormones.
Yeah. The trailer will just be them kissing and rubbing up on each other. And then the plot will be like, remember when we were kissing and rubbing up on each other? I'm saying money.
Money. Why is your Hollywood pitch person from Jersey?
Well, because, he was a New York executive.
He was a New York executive.
And then he moved, he got shipped out to LA because he hit the big time.
Oh, right? Gotcha.
And he's aggressive, okay. Which is why he gets his stuff made. He's like,
so that's your New York.
No. That's basically, okay. that's this trailer, yeah.
All right, so after we fell, I have a nickel that says that nobody who listens to the Penn Cinema podcast is also going to see After We Fell. Now, there's another movie coming out from Sony, which actually opens at Penn Cinema on Friday.
Right.
And it is, it's called The Long Weekend, and it stars two up-and-comers, some actors who have done some work, but I didn't recognize either of them. And it's basically a time travel romantic comedy. It's about a guy who's really struggling. He's going through some stuff, and this woman kind of appears. They bump into each other in a movie, and she kind of appears, and then there's some question that she may not be from this time.
Oh. That? Not in the trailer. That I saw.
I mean,
it fits, because the whole trailer, she's like, there's something about me you don't know. And his friends are like, there's something up with that girl. And he's like, oh, but I love her. And I've never loved like I've loved this time. And so that could totally fit.
Yeah. So she may or may not be from a different time.
Right. Spoiler alert. She's probably not.
Spoiler alert. She's not.
She's not.
I have to tell you, I've already seen this movie.
What?
Yeah. But so how? you know how we have we used to have to go to Philly, New York to screen movies.
Right.
And then now I think I explained a few weeks back that studios are now sending you screener links.
Oh.
So they sent me a screener link for this movie a couple weeks ago, and I watched it. Amy and I watched it. I did not love it, but I liked it. Amy loved it.
Okay.
So this is a great idea for a date movie. It's easy, it's fun, but it's got a little heart to it. It's got some heart and soul. There's a little to it. And I will also say, even though I did put the little spoiler out there, there's some question about whether or not that's true.
Ooh.
And the ending of the movie is the last half hour is totally unpredictable.
Well,
I did not, Amy and I, we both said I did not see any of that.
Totally backtracked yourself out of the corner there. Good.
No. I'm being serious. I'm being serious that even though I sort of spoiled that, oh, she may not be from this time, that you can know that from the beginning of the movie and that does not spoil the plot.
So here's what my question is, and it's about these screeners, right?
Yeah.
Like before, you had to go to someplace special, kind of go out a little bit out of your way. Right. Now I'm assuming
now,
these come
now
with
I've
contract.
Had the luxury yeah. of an entire year of getting these screeners at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do they come with a little bit of like a non-disclosure contract that says this specific movie must be watched in the bathroom? Like, so that they still feel like you kind of went out of your way. Like it's a special thing. Like, must be watched in the tub. Has to be, you know, you have to sit on your roof.
There are some, I know you're making a joke, but it is interesting that there are some, it's not easy to watch the screener link.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's time coded. Once you start it, you can't stop it. And it's watermarked so that like the whole time you're watching it, it says Penn Ketchum in the upper corner. So that if it ever appears like on the streets of New York in the Disney right. World known as Times Square, that they would know who leaked that. that content.
As opposed to the Pennsylvania Disneyland.
right. As opposed to Pennsylvania Disney World. And then there's a couple other, like, you have to log in on, you have to download an app on your computer, and then you have to log in, and then concurrently they send you a link to your phone, which you have to, you know, pass that code. I'm just saying the security on this is unlike any other document or any other video package that I've ever messed around with. Yeah.
Wow.
And to make my point, I also received a screener link for Raya.
Oh, yeah. Did you do that or did you do it in the theater?
Well, I tried to do that and it was so annoying and complicated and didn't work right. And finally I realized, like, wait a minute, if I wait another 12 hours, I can watch it tomorrow morning in the damn movie theater.
Solid.
So that's what I did. I actually watched Raya at in Ephrata in the downtown megaplex known as the New Main.
Wow.
Yeah, heavy hitter that it is.
Fancy pants McGee over there. Yeah. All right, our last trailer is for a movie called The Fallout, starring Shailene Woodley, who doesn't make an appearance that I'm aware of in the trailer, but is the only reason I played the trailer, because I was like, oh, I like her.
I saw her in the trailer.
Did you? I didn't see her. The trailer is mostly just music. And still, like, there's no audio until the very end, which I don't know anything about this movie, so I'm assuming it's centered around a school shooting. No?
Oh.
Because at the very end, she's talking to the girl in the bathroom, and then you hear, like, a gunshot.
Right. Right.
So
I was hoping that it was something more light. Like I agree with you. It definitely does not tell you what the fallout is from.
Yeah.
And now that you say a school shooting, that totally makes sense. But I was hoping it was like some kind of apocalypse, like a Martian landed, or, you know, I don't know what, but a school shooting makes a lot more sense. The reason why I think maybe it might be bigger than a school shooting is because, they show all these characters throughout the trailer, and the trailer was quite frenetic, or frantic, I guess would be the word. Yeah. There was a lot of people
doing a lot of
different things. You would think they wouldn't all be able to hear a gunshot. Well, maybe that's the point. I don't know. I thought this was a really intriguing trailer. It made me want to watch the movie. What did you think?
Yeah, I'll watch it. I thought it looked like the type of, like, it looked very arty. Well, sometimes these movies look very college kid made, and sometimes they look like they'd be something at Sundance or something, and this was more along the Sundance line.
This was more the latter than the former.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like Jacob's Ladder.
Was there ladders in this one? I don't, yeah.
No.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So, David, my trailer for the week was The Seventh Day.
Mine's Voyagers.
Okay. I can't even argue with that, because that was a close one for me.
I thought it was – I mean, it's not, like, great or anything, but of these, I thought it was the one that I'm personally the most interested in.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So our movie review this week, let's get right into it, is Raya and the Last Dragon, a Disney release, which did incredibly well at the box office this weekend. And it stars a variety of actors that I had not heard of, other than one of the main characters played by Awkwafina. She plays Sisu the dragon. And I thought this was an animated feature. I believe it was rated PG, not PG-13. And from what I saw at the various movie theaters that I was lurking about this weekend, both Lititz and Ephrata, families had a great time. Families came out of this talking about how fun it was. And the other thing that was great about it was I talked to a couple of grandmas who came out. So it definitely, like, is the kind of movie that can appeal to a broad spectrum of moviegoers.
The main character is played by Kelly Marie Tran, who you should know from the bad Star Wars movies.
Is that why I read an interview with her, and the headline of the interview was something along the lines of, like, Kelly Marie is putting the trauma of her Star Wars experience behind her.
Yeah, it's a big thing because, like, they made her character in a way that was bad. She was treated badly, and then she was, like, you know, stupid fanboys didn't like her because she was a woman and she was Asian. And then in the next movie, as a result, they basically cut her character almost completely out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like a big thing because she's like, I thought they didn't, you know, I can't believe they gave into that. But anyway, I really liked this movie. I thought it was a really good Disney film. I thought it was fun. It reminded me a lot of The Last Airbender. I would say if you're bringing your kids, I think it's really good for like six and up. And then I noticed that kids a little younger than that in the theater started to get a little antsy. And I think that's just an age thing. Not, you know,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
So, because there are like it moves at a pretty good pace. It's got some good actions, good storytelling. The jokes are funny. The visuals are really good. Yeah, I thought it was really solid. And I think it's a great family flick.
To your point about the kids, I just want to tell this funny story. Amy works with a nurse who is a pretty amazing person at the hospital. She works with newborn babies. And
I thought you were going to say she's a kid. This is Doogie Howser type thing.
Right. So we were just, Amy and I were just talking about how incredible this person is, this woman. And I said, and I know that she has kids. And I said, well, we should just, you know, give her some passes to come in and see Raya, because that is how the thing had come up in conversation, was that this nurse was talking about Raya. And I said, I'd love to, you know, I'll send over some passes so she can bring the kids in and see it. And then Amy said, well, her kids are 2 and 4. That'd be great. I said, maybe
not this one.
You know, yeah, maybe we'll wait for Peter Rabbit to come out or something like that. But I agree. I thought the movie was fantastic. I read a bunch of reviews about it, and I felt really validated because my opinion about this movie, I saw a lot of reviews that had the same opinion, which was that the message was beautiful. Sometimes there were moments where it was like a little preachy, a little bit sort of heavy-handed with like, okay, we get it. We don't need another monologue about how you can trust people.
Right.
You know, and how, you know, you should forgive people and you are in fact worthy, and that's all true and it's all good stuff and I love the messages of this movie, but there were some moments in this film where I was like, okay let's keep it going. But I thought this movie was great. I highly recommend it to families. And I also wanted to pull out an interesting point. A movie that I watched a couple weeks ago about some guys from England who decided to ride their bikes, circumnavigate Norway, I believe. And the name of the movie was Sisu. And the reason why they named their movie Sisu was because, and now I'm quoting here, Sisu is a Finnish, like as in Finland, the country Finland.
Okay.
It's a Finnish concept described as stoic determination, tenacity of purpose, grit, bravery, resilience, and hardiness, and is held by the Finns themselves to express their national character. It is generally considered not to have a literal equivalent in English. The main character of Raya, one of the main characters, is Sisu the dragon, played by Awkwafina.
Right.
Isn't it interesting that this movie, with all those Southeast Asian roots, would name the main dragon after a Norwegian, Scandinavian, I guess is the better word, a Scandinavian regional folktale or folk term. What do you make of that?
I'm really curious to see if it has any equivalent in Asian culture.
I mean, it must, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Asian culture dates back thousands of years. I mean, they got everything.
Yeah.
So, okay, so
yeah.
While David's exploring the Scandinavian version up there, I just thought that was here's what I think. It did not take away from the movie. It's not irrelevant. I'm not trying to cry foul or create any kind of drama here. All I'm saying is that was an interesting footnote that it would have never been on my radar had I not happened to watch a movie, a documentary named Sisu. About these bike riders trying to, you know, ride their bikes around Norway.
Yeah, I don't see anything about it being anything Asian. I think that, but it means courage, so why not? You know, like I think that
it totally works. Yeah. It totally works. I just thought it was an interesting thing. It's an interesting footnote. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I thought they were going to do more with her. Like when she, every time they got a piece, she got more power. And I thought they were going to, like, she almost never uses the new powers or whatever. So I thought that was a missed opportunity.
Being powerful, I read something. I'm not going to say it because I don't remember it. So I don't want to say it halfway and screw it up.
Well, let me just tell you something. My old Uncle Ben used to tell me, with great power comes great responsibility. So maybe that's what you were going for, but, you know.
Do you think we get a Raya 2?
Oh, I would think probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's more than enough room for it. And, yeah, I'd be surprised. Honestly, I'd be surprised if we don't.
Yeah. So. Okay.
All right.
So we are both on board. We totally enjoy this movie and recommend it to anybody, especially with kids. I think the sweet spot is like early teens.
Oh yeah.
I think like a 12-year-old is the perfect.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too.
10-year-old, 12-year-old, something like that is the sweet spot.
Yeah. All right. Well, we didn't have any listener notes this week, so shame on you, listeners, for not making fun of us this week.
Well, we had a couple that we're just choosing not to share.
We heard from the Mystery Gobble, who said that if making fun of Penn is included with the ticket price, which is apparently something you said last episode, that it needs to be in the advertisements so people know.
Right. The advertisement.
Yeah.
It needs to be in the advertisement. I also got an email directly to myself from somebody who said that this was really kind of interesting. We're doing a great job.
Oh, whoa.
And we should keep up the good work. And Penn Cinema is doing a great job.
Should keep up
the good work. And then he went on to elaborate that he knows somebody high up at Wegmans.
Oh.
And to help us out, we should contact that person to get Wegmans to donate all the groceries and supplies that we need to keep the movie theater running. I guess our popcorn and our candies.
Get them to donate it.
Yeah, donate. So this young man believes that Wegmans, wanting to support their local multiplex,
will just donate.
Is going to like back up the truck and unload 1,600 cases of soda.
Wow.
And 5,000 pounds of popcorn kernels.
Hey,
so yeah, that's great. That's going to really help our business model.
You never know what you ask. That's what I always say.
Well, the funny thing is, I serve on the board of directors for the Lancaster County Food Hub.
Yeah,
which helps people in need and people who are living with food insecurity, and also serving on that same board of directors is somebody pretty high up at Wegmans.
Oh,
right.
Whoa.
So I did send him an email telling him, that somebody had suggested that Wegmans should donate. So if you come into the multiplex next week and we don't have any more goobers, but we got 3 vegan pizzas, you'll know what happened.
Yeah, yeah. So I got some verbal feedback this week about our ad that plays before movies.
Oh, I love that ad.
And I had a friend with me who hadn't heard it before.
Okay.
And it played and she was like, "That's crazy." I was like, "Yeah. I mean, it doesn't say our names, but that's me." And she goes, I said, "It's time constraints and stuff." I was just joking around. She goes, "Ha! Well, they could have cut out your laughing."
That's what Amy always. Whenever we're in public and somebody brings up the topic of the Penn Cinema podcast, Amy, that's like her go-to joke. She always says, "The podcast is like an hour long, but if you cut out all the giggling, it'll be about 6 minutes."
Oh, it's so true.
That's my wife, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, let's get into what are you watching, what are you doing, what are you reading? What's your life up to this week?
All right, well, listen, I'm not going to bore you with all the crap that I watch about trail running and marathons and Ironman, but I want to tell you, I looked over my viewing history, and I realized that I spotted a disturbing trend.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Have you ever noticed this about yourself where you're suddenly like, why am I watching? Apparently, I'm the kind of person who likes to watch soap operas.
I mean, I would have slated you for that instantly.
So Amy and I are watching Outlander, which is nothing but a soap opera.
Right.
And apparently I'm watching this one called Behind Her Eyes, which is also nothing but a soap opera. And it's not really that good either, but but every now and then, you know, one of the characters sleeps with one of the other characters what? Who's married to one of the other characters. And like, it's all right. It's you remember that show, The Undoing? Did you ever see that?
No.
That was really good. This is like a cheap, not as good version of The Undoing, which is also a soap opera. Now, so apparently, what have I been doing? What have I been watching? I've been watching soap operas.
Riddle me this. Is Outlander good? Because it's right. One of those things that like it's always at Comic-Con and I've been really curious about it.
I don't know why it would be at Comic-Con. It is good.
Traveler one.
Yeah, it's really gruesome. I mean, it's bloody. It's violent. If it was a movie, it would be an R, a solid R. Anyway, like you, I also have been watching WandaVision and the series finale. What did you think about that?
Did you catch both the stingers?
I did. Okay. I did catch both stingers.
Okay, good. I thought it was good. I think it showed, it's one of those things where I really feel like it showed what these shows are going to be for us. And that, like, there was constant build up the whole series. And then there was just enough payoff. But it didn't do everything. You know, like Monica Rambeau, we know she has powers now. We don't know what they are. We don't know what she can really do, but we know she has how she got powers and that she has powers. Wanda, like, basically just takes off. New Vision is just out there. Like, maybe her kids are alive. Maybe they're not. Who knows? It left a lot of things unanswered. And I think the article that Pirate Dave posted was probably my favorite headline, where it said...
Yeah. Yeah.
It said WandaVision failed to deliver on what the internet promised me.
Yeah. But I was promised by the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think
I thought funny. That's what I wanted to comment on too, was I thought that was a story from Collider, and it was a really interesting take on the WandaVision storyline was about grief and about, you know, letting go and moving on, and it was a beautiful story. But the headlines and the energy around the fans and around a lot of the hype, and I absolutely fell in myself, you know, trying to see what it was going to tie into and looking ahead. And the point this article made was, you could sort of say that the point was something along the lines of like urging fans to live in the now, to be more present. So in other words, this story, WandaVision, is a story, a self-contained, it has a beginning and a middle and an end, and it's a storyline, and now that storyline is resolved and we can move on to another storyline. Whereas what a lot of people look for is every Marvel product, whether it's a movie or a show, sort of is intended to promote the next product.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, I mean, obviously this story was a lot more articulate than I am in making that point, but I recommend it if anybody wants to go over to Collider and find the story that somebody wrote about WandaVision. I thought it was really well done, and it really made me, it actually raised my level of appreciation for the show. I mean, we talked over the last few weeks how much I've enjoyed it. I loved it. And then after I read that article, I thought, you know, they have some integrity to their storytelling.
Can you imagine if they would have had to shoehorn the big plot points of this into another movie?
Right.
I think that's exactly what it's doing, is it's getting these things out in a good way.
Right.
And giving them the space to breathe that they need.
Right.
Without
you. 9 hour. It's a 9 hour story. You could have never done, you could have never told that story in 2 hours or 100 minutes or whatever that is. So
that's WandaVision.
Good for them.
We liked it. I've also been reading, the other thing I've been doing this week is I've been reading a book called The Eye of Minds by James Dashner. Now, he wrote The Maze Runner, which I know they made movies of, but the books are really good. And so this is another series he's done that's about virtual reality type stuff. And about 40 minutes left of the last book. I'll probably finish it tonight, but it's good stuff. I definitely recommend, if you like Maze Runner, definitely check out The Eye of the Minds.
I'll definitely read that as soon as I'm done reading Dune.
Right, right, right. You know how many people ask me on a regular basis? I mean, almost weekly. Is Penn ever going to read Dune? And do you know what I say? No, he's not. Like,
all right, we're planning a family vacation.
Oh, perfect. You know, when you're out with your family and you've got all these family commitments, that's the best time to read Dune.
I don't want to tell you where I'm going, because that's our family business. But we're going somewhere where it's not like we're not like going to England to sightsee, or like we're not traveling like one city and then pack up in the next one like sightseeing.
Yeah.
We're going away. We're going checking in to where we're going, and we're done.
Right.
And then we're there for 5 or 6 days, and then we're coming home.
It's Disneyland Lancaster.
It's Disneyland Lancaster, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I'll believe it when it happens, because people are like, well, has he tried listening to it? And I was like, I'm pretty sure he did.
I even tried having Amy read it to me.
Yeah. You got to get past the first three chapters.
But then I found out they're making a movie of it. So I'm like, well, why the hell am I going to read this book? I'm just going to wait a little while and watch a damn movie.
Oh. If you do that and the movie is bad, I'm going to be even more angry, because I'm like, you didn't get to experience the real Dune.
Listen, I 100% guarantee that I'm going to watch this movie. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that's what you call a Freudian slip.
All right. Well, look, next week we're going to be watching Minari, so that should be interesting, because that's a movie that you have to read, Penn. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I'm cool with that. I loved Parasite. I mean, different director, but I got no problem with foreign language features.
Yeah, I don't know if that was going to test your skills.
I recently read a book called How Not to Die.
Oh.
And this book is thicker than Dune.
What? And they're complaining about Dune?
I'm not complaining about it. I just haven't started it.
All right. Look. If you want to write in and ask Penn why he hasn't started reading Dune yet, please do. You can do that. Tell us about whatever else you want to talk to us about. podcast@penncinema.com. That's the number one way to get in touch with us. Now, Penn, if someone wants to support us, what's the number one way they can do that?
Well, I mean, what the common, you know, typically people tell a friend.
The common folk? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I was going to say the common thing, the common thing to do is like tell a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's this new hip trend. I don't know. Have you been seeing this all over the place?
TikTok is all over.
No, TikTok's got nothing on this. What people are doing is they're signing up for local road races.
Yeah.
And then they're running the race and winning. The key is you have to win.
Yeah, okay.
And so you run the road race and then you win. And then when the press is interviewing you and seeking comment on your outstanding achievement, they say something like, what's your secret? How were you able to achieve this incredible athletic feat? And then you surprise them and you say, by listening to the Penn Cinema podcast. Yeah, I mean, that's what the cool kids are doing.
Yeah, yeah. Someone came up to me this week and they gave me an award, and it was the Best Friend Award.
Aww.
And I said, thanks. I'd like to thank the Academy and everyone who helped me get to this point. So, all right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care. And
party on.
Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
That was awesome.
Cut.
Yeah.
Great, I'm happy.
It's a cut.